Hey everybody, I'm Tom Dorsey.
I'm Amy Kemp.
And I'm David Clark.
And this is, let's see, behind you, Sydney, is the 24th of July. Thank God we're moving into August in a couple weeks, or at least a week or so. It's hot, man.
It is hot. I don't know that it's going to get any cooler in August, though.
It's hot as a firecracker out there.
Yeah.
Almost unbearable. I mean, it's to the point, I even went back home this past weekend, and even there, in the mountains, 3,000 elevation, it's still 90 degrees, humidity's 90-some percent. I mean, it's just
sweltering. On the way in this morning, I saw a Gila monster dying of heat prostration.
What?
On the way in, is that hot? I mean, is that hot out here?
You always have something. I don't know.
You don't know what a Gila monster is?
No.
You don't know? That is like, they're poisonous. They live in Arizona, out in the desert. They're probably the most common.
It's a real creature.
Real.
Yeah. Oh,
a Gila
okay.
monster
oh, okay.
is a real poisonous. You got it.
That's going to be the biggest question we get from this video today.
Gosh.
What is a Gila monster?
I mean, and they can take some unbearable heat. So when you say, I saw a Gila monster die of heat prostration today, you know it's hot.
It's that hot.
It's that hot.
Got it.
It's a Virginia girl.
Oh, geez.
Well, hey, there's a lot in the report today. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the first, in fact, I think you wrote it, mm-hmm. David, is using protective puts during earnings season. And the interesting thing about options, I'm going to digress here for a second. I should write this up, and I think I will, in a blog that I haven't used in 6 months or so, 7 months or so. Write it up and put that out. Is my son Thomas, who would be the most unlikely person to be involved in the options business, when he was young, we knew that his profession would be play. And when I say play, because he was so serious about play. He wanted to be the best at everything he did. It wasn't that he wanted to beat everybody else. He just wanted to do everything he could to be the best.
Okay.
From skateboarding to whatever it was.
Competitive. I wonder where he gets that from.
I don't know. I never thought I was like that. But in the option business, all of a sudden I realized that he gravitated to options. Now, I can remember a time I took him on the back deck when he was in high school.
Uh-huh.
And he was a little bit ahead of you. You were with my daughter, Samantha.
Yeah, I was 2 years behind. Yep.
Yeah. And on the back deck, I was going to try to straighten him out and get him on the right straight and narrow and come to Wall Street, you know? So I sat there and in the back deck explaining what I did, mm-hmm. what point and figure was. Well, it was like hitting a brick wall. He wasn't getting it, didn't want to get it, and he's a nice enough boy that he sat there and listened to me. And I did the same thing with Samantha.
Uh-huh.
I had her read the book. I went over my book with her page by page. She understood it thoroughly. And as we finished and she walked out, I thought to myself, you know what? That whole conversation was, if I was to color it, mm-hmm. would be gray. She lives in color.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving her something that's gray. There's no way she's going to buy into this. Well, all of a sudden, Thomas had this credit card that if you have extra change, it buys your stock. I don't know which one it was. Yeah, whenever you have excess change.
I've heard of these kinds of things. Yeah.
He looked at this thing and he said, you know, I made $3 last week. He thought, this is really kind of cool. What is this? So from that credit card, he went on. He started learning about buying stock. So I sent him to Robinhood.com. You can just send in $100 and you can trade that. He did that for a while. Then he came to the realization it's expensive to buy stock.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he owns Diamond Billiards, but he still doesn't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And to buy stock was a big commitment. So he learned about options because you could buy options, which is a lot less expensive than buying stocks.
Right.
6 months later, I'm having lunch with him. I said, Thomas, I cannot believe that you are on the same level as I am in options. You can talk options the same as me. It's taken me 43 years to get here.
Right.
It's taken you 6 months. I said, I'm in awe at this. I said, I love it, but I'm in awe at this.
So how did he teach himself?
That was the question. I said, how did you do it?
Yeah.
And in his unfettered way, he just said, Dad, he said, YouTube.
No way.
He said, YouTube. He said, it's there for anyone that wants it. Yeah. If you want it. It's there. Just go to YouTube. So before he would drop his daughter off in the morning at school, and before he opened Diamond Billiards, he had an hour, and he would listen to an options podcast, and he's now as sophisticated on options as you can imagine.
Hmm.
He watches Tasty Trade. Tasty Trade is a media company, but Tom Sosnoff is a really cool guy. I met him. And we had a long talk together, two option people. He is one of the founders of Thinkorswim. That was one of the big option platforms, one of the best option platforms ever created, sold to TD Ameritrade. So he started Tasty Trade.
Okay.
Tasty Trade is cool because it's a media company, and you should look at some of these things.
Yeah, I've never.
Amy, I got to bring you guys into this.
I've looked at a video or two.
You got to watch the videos because they do a lot with millennials.
Okay.
Well, I said, Thomas, I said, why are they doing so much with millennials? He said, millennials are the ones that are interested in options today. They're not interested in buying stock. It's less expensive to be involved in the options market than it is in the stock market.
Hmm.
So millennials are gravitating to the options market. I said, that is so interesting to me to see people, the older people, move away from it. The young people are coming into it. And what Thomas knows about trading options right now, I've given him a big account to run for me.
Wow.
And I watch him run it.
So what is he?
It's on YouTube.
What's his strategy during earning season?
Well, he doesn't think about it as far as earnings season is concerned. It's what he does is he looks at the earnings coming up for a particular stock.
Okay.
And if he's going to make a trade on XYZ and earnings are coming next week, he'll probably avoid that.
Okay.
Me, I don't. I'll put the strategies on. I'll say, okay, I like what we're doing. Put that on my Schwab account. And he said, earnings coming next week. I said, fine, that's where I like it. I like that extra spice. What's going to happen? You know, that's the kind of thing you go to bed at night and say, man, it's exhilarating.
Yep.
For him, he wants all the odds on his favor. For me, I like to kind of step out on the edge of the plane.
Okay.
So when you're buying options for your portfolio, when you buy put options, what are you in essence doing to your stock? When you think about how cool options are, I have a stock, XYZ, at 20, and it's run to 50. I want to protect my profit.
Right.
I'm worried a little bit, you know, where we're still in sell a man go away. So I could buy a 50 put. A put gives me the right to sell the stock at a certain price at a certain time in the future. In essence, it's an insurance policy.
Right.
The same thing as you would do. You wouldn't buy a car, and in your case, it would probably be a Mercedes. You wouldn't buy a Mercedes and drive it off the lot without insurance, right?
Correct.
So you're buying stock, buying put.
Right.
The Mercedes is your stock. Your put is your insurance policy you have to have. You're not taking that chance of an accident on the way home.
Right.
So what happens, though, when I already own that Mercedes and I decide at some time in the future, I think I need insurance? If you're long a stock already and you buy a put against it, you're now turning that stock into something different. Because what is an option equivalent? Long stock, long put equals long call. So by buying the put against stock that you have that has a profit that's run up, you're in essence turning the position into a call position.
Okay.
Because in essence, if I'm long a stock at 50 and I have a 50 call for 5 and the stock goes to 0, all I can risk is 5. But I could also just buy a call at 50 at 5.
Right.
And if the stock goes to 0, I lose 5. Same thing.
Huh.
Equivalent strategy.
Yes.
So when you think about that equivalent strategy, that helps you think more clearly about options. Option equivalence, very important. We probably should talk more about that on this line.
Yeah.
So buy stock, buy put, you're in essence buying a call. You could affect the same thing by selling the stock, knock down your profit, and then replace it with a call option. You've done the same thing.
Right. So then anything on this list, which it is not a short list in today's report, it's all of the stocks. What is it, just all of the stocks reporting earnings?
It's all the stocks in the S&P 500 that will be reporting earnings within the next 2 weeks. And if I remember counting right, it's 200 plus. So it's, you know, a very large majority of the stocks in the S&P 500 that'll be reporting within the next few weeks. I even think this week it's 150 something.
There's a lot this week, the 27th and the 26th.
So it was opportune time for us to point it out, and as TD said, especially during earnings season, you know, we find surprises every once in a while. You know, it can happen to us. And this provides a good opportunity to buy that insurance to help us, you know, whether it's protect some profits or just simply give us a little bit of peace of mind. We're offered that opportunity right now. From the standpoint of buying options right now, volatility is still very low. So as far as buying insurance, it's still cheap.
Exactly.
The VIX right now is at 9.5. You know, we're near historic lows on the VIX right now, so options overall, from a historical perspective, are cheap. Typically, when we look at sort of what's a good play for this type of strategy, when we're doing this article, we often look for stocks that you've seen run up a decent amount. The example we used in the report were Vertex, VRTX, the symbol there. In this case, the stock's 130% overbought. It just rallied to new highs. Does have a good support level there at 158, but from 158, we're looking down to the high, well, really low 120 level before we find any support. So Vertex, along with others that you've seen, you know, one column of X's, maybe they've just reversed down into a column of O's. Those are the positions we might address with, as you said, buying some insurance. It gives us that nice peace of mind during this time.
And the interesting thing about buying insurance is when you think about your customer, they'll accept that.
Yeah.
Buying insurance, I do that all.
Sounds safe.
My golf clubs are insured. My wife's insured. Everything's insured. By call, exact same strategy. Well, wait a minute. You're getting speculative. You're getting speculative with me here.
You're speculating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm going to ask you two a question. At what point is hurricane insurance the most expensive?
Right before the hurricane.
Well, how do we know the hurricane's coming? Are you clairvoyant?
No.
Before hurricane season?
Before hurricane season.
Right after hurricane
season. Right after the hurricane. As soon as that hurricane hits and
everything is devastated, you call your insurance company and say, I'd like some hurricane insurance.
I don't want that to happen.
Of course you want some. I'm sure you do after we just saw your house blown off.
Right.
Now, I want to talk about something that you said.
Yes.
We have discussions here in the office all the time. And I was at home one day with a good friend of mine, Tushar Mahija, who I really respect as one of the top technical guys that I know. He is the founder of StockEasy.com.
Right.
In India, was the very first social media company involved in the stock market and in stock market trading, and really ahead of its time. And my daughter was there, your friend, you guys grew up together, and we were talking about Snapchat. And I don't do anything with Snapchat, but they were all over it. Like, Snapchat is it. This is the thing right now. I mean, this, you can forget about emails and Snapchat's it. I said, okay, great. The stock has come public. It's gone down. I'm going to buy it when it's down.
Right.
Which I did. And it went even downer.
Yes, it did.
Heading south like a migrating bird.
Yes, it did.
So you mentioned to me, well, I don't know if Snapchat's the play. So explain to me. That this is social media discussion.
Right.
That's what's happening today.
Well, so you had said, you know, do you use Snapchat? And I said, I do use Snapchat. And you said, well, look at the chart. What's going on? And I said, well, Instagram, though, is, I use Instagram more. And Instagram now has all of the same functionality that Snapchat has. And you said, well, how do I buy Instagram? Well, Facebook owns Instagram. So then he's like, how am I going to keep up? I mean, that's the thing with technology, and always has been, that the next thing is right around the corner.
Exactly.
And even now, you know, even with attention spans, it's like a whole different world. When I'm on the Instagram, unless there's something that's catching my eye, I mean, I'm scrolling through, you know, 20 pictures in 10 seconds.
Or, finding the ones you only like specifically. Right. That's it. Yeah.
Right. So, so comparing the charts of Snap, S-N-A-P, versus Facebook, and their, you know, like mirror images.
Yeah, and I get
and
it
not
the
in
snap.
Your favor.
I get it snap because it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So I bought into it. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, you
and Facebook came out. It came out the same way. Facebook went down first and came back
it's
up.
That's true.
So I'm praying on that. But today's technology, though, is something different. When you looked at Betterment the other day, had an article, and we could just sit here and talk all day because the young people in the office of DWA, you guys rule here. Mm-hmm. The younger people rule, and you guys grow up with technology. It's normal to you.
Yes.
I think back when the fax machine first came out, and to me, I thought technology could never get any better than this. How do we go any further?
Right.
Than the fax machine.
Right.
And think about this now. Who still uses a fax machine? That's the question.
Well, hey, you know, here we have, this is the way it happens in the office. Digression. The fax machine is now being used as the only thing left that can't be hacked.
Yes. Yeah. So like doctor's offices.
Exactly. So we're back to faxes now.
Yeah. Only for the very secure information.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Somebody will find a way.
So we're okay. Back with Betterment. So Betterment's talking about they want to have, they just took $10 more million in. I wouldn't want to be one of the investors in Betterment because that $10 more million dilutes the people who are already in it. Now they're supposedly an $800 million valuation, supposedly. Right. Well, who's valuing it? It's like a real estate guy. Values your house. Man, your house is worth $500,000. You know, the comps in the neighborhood are $500,000 and more. You can't be. You got to be $500,000 until you get somebody who brings you a check. The check actually clears the bank. The money's in your account. That's what your house is worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when Betterment made this statement, we are trying to come to market as quickly as possible, i.e. come to market as stock.
Yeah. IPO.
They realized that if they don't come as quickly as possible, they could miss the whole thing.
Right.
What happened to me in Florida? I had a condominium, three-bedroom condominium. I was selling this right on the beach. And the reason I sold it is I was flying home, and I looked at this magazine cover, and it was a 20-something pimply-faced kid that was talking about how he flips condominiums before they're even built.
What?
Huh.
Yes. They buy the plot. They're going to build these condominiums. They start selling the condos. The first brick hasn't in there, but they sell the future condo, buys a future condo. They start being built. Price goes up. He flips them.
Hmm.
I said, it's over for real estate. So I put an order in, basically, to sell my condo at $775,000.
Uh-huh.
By the time that I got someone that gave me a check, now I got it in right at the top. If it was a stock, I would have pushed a button and said, I hit the top.
Right.
Real estate, not so easy.
Not so quick. Right.
Not by the time it hit $500,000, that's when somebody brought me the check to clear.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So Betterment wants to get in the market as quickly as they can right now because they know the same thing could happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in the dot-com days, and we could talk about this forever, the dot-com days were so much fun that you came into work and you bought Cisco Systems at 70 and sold it at 90 at the end of the day. No problem. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll buy it at 90. We'll sell it at 120.
And we're in great shape.
There were doctors and dentists and whatnot that were giving up their practices to go get a trading desk in these places.
Right.
It was so unique. But anything technology went up. Today, you had better be technology. You had better be internet. You better be first class in this,
yeah,
but doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go up.
Absolutely. I mean, you know? That's always the case, right? We're
not
always
back in, not back in
oh,
the
well,
dot-com
now back
days.
Then, right, okay.
Back
okay.
then.
Okay, separating the company from the stock, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Company, yeah.
That's right. Everything was about the stock back then.
Yeah. Well, that's like what you were saying this morning, where right now and back in the 90s, you were in, you just needed to be in the stock market.
That's right.
Versus
a market of stocks. Exactly.
Where you were either stock picking or equally weighting,
that's
or
right.
whatever the case was.
That's right. When you're in a stock market, just own the market.
Right.
Because that's where you want to own the index. If you're in a market of stocks, that's where you want to be equal weighted and start picking the individual stocks.
Right.
We have been in a stock market now for years. S&P 500 has been the play. It's just being in that stock market. Hard to beat the S&P 500, much less a total return.
Right.
That husband.
Well, with tech and earnings in the conversation, it's going to be a big week for those kind of FANG or market stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So Netflix already reported. Apple is going to be that first week of August. So they're next. Is that next week already? The first
next
week,
week.
Of August?
Next week.
Facebook is on Wednesday, the 26th, and Amazon is on the 27th. So, you know, it's easy to find if you've got stocks in your portfolio saved, and especially if you have the portfolio saved on the platform, you can set an alert to say, I want to get an email at the beginning of the week, and I want to know all of the stocks that I own that have earnings coming up.
That's very cool. Very cool.
So that's one thing that you can go ahead and just mark the check mark, and you'll get those moving forward, and they'll stay there for the next earnings season. You can also get the earnings data along the top of any chart. So as long as we've got the data of when they're going to announce, we'll put that on the top of the chart. So try to dummy-proof it, right?
That's fantastic. That's
and going back to our social media discussion while we were sitting here talking, I was just looking around just to see, are there any ETFs that exist within this social media space? The one that I found that trades the most, an average volume about 30,000 shares, so still kind of low volume for most, but high, decent enough for an ETF, is the Global X Social Media Index ETF, symbol SOCL. Right now it has 10% weight in Twitter, 10% weight in Facebook, 5% weight in Yandex, which is a Chinese social media company. NetEase is a 5% weight. So a lot of these social media stocks, not necessarily Snapchat, but a lot of these social media stocks that we even referenced on the video here earlier are holdings within this ETF. So if you're looking for the social media play,
yep,
could look at the stock, could look at the ETF, which is just the basket of those social media stocks.
Snap's in there. It's down at 3%. Google's in there. You know, all of the
So how about just taking the underlying stocks and put them in a matrix and buy the top five?
Absolutely.
Could do that as well.
Man, you could get creative here.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to leave you with this. After 43 years in this business, I want you to understand this. Sometimes good news is good. Sometimes good news is bad. Sometimes bad news is good. Sometimes bad news is bad. We'll see you next week.